Miss Glenn knows it because he was talking about some things there you don't talk about on the air.
You were joining me on
that. Yeah, but I know when to stop. You don't know when to stop. And we had this conversation not too long ago about, oh, you just think everything should be said on the air, and you think everything should be brought up about other people. And I'm of the school that you don't say things about certain people unless they know.
I never said it that way, but that's all right. You can live in your fantasy world.
I just got a message from one of our listeners about Hoity.
Hoity.
Yes. Let's see. Blatantly and, what is that? Disdainfully proud.
Okay.
Having or showing an attitude of superiority and contempt for people or things perceived to be inferior.
Aha! Uh-huh. That's exactly what I think hoity-toity is.
But we all found out I was right during the break. Did we find out I was right? Glenn, no, admit that I was right. It was not hoity-toity. It was hoity-toity.
I'm going to have to... I think I was using a different term.
Oh, just say I was right
and
move on.
I will never say you're right on anything.
Okay, the story about your daughter and hoity-toityness.
Okay, my daughter. We were talking about kids, and I don't know how this came about. I was going to tell about my daughter.
Because we were talking about... I explained this to you like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but I'm old.
It's all about everybody's got to be a winner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm not a big fan of giving people participation trophies and that sort of thing. You should be happy that they're participating. But let's pass on that because I'm wrong 90% of the time on that. My daughter... We went. She played soccer for Tiffin, and Tiffin got all the way to the final four of the regionals, which was pretty far. And they were doing quite well, and they lost in the final four of this event down in Kentucky. And my daughter hadn't spoken to me for years because I caught her with her boyfriend in a car making out. I won't go into that story.
No, wait, why wouldn't she speak to you because of that?
Well, because it was at a football game.
Okay.
And I slammed on the car, scared her boyfriend to death. He jumped out of the car.
You slammed on the car?
Yeah, I hit with my hand.
You hit the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she got mad that I scared him. And then as I walked down the alley towards the football game, I happened to meet Reverend Kiger, which we all know here in town. He was our minister, and I said to him, I just caught my daughter in the car making out with her boyfriend. I am so mad. And she was right behind me, and she was so angry that I told Reverend Kiger about that. She didn't speak to me until this event, and we were walking across the field. And
how many years did you not speak?
About 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
Not at Christmas?
We talked, but it was always cold. All right.
Well, why did you tell the Reverend? That's a little... That's back to our whole point. You see, your daughter typifies what I was saying.
Okay.
Sometimes you should not tell other people's stuff. They don't want you to tell other people.
I was being selfish, and I was relieving myself of my anger. And but anyway...
Look who's around you.
Yes, you should. I walked across the field figuring that my wife would comfort her, and she ran up to me and hugged me, and we walked off the field, and she apologized to me for losing. And I said, that doesn't make any difference. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's dying here. And we walked off the field, and from that point on, my daughter and I have been great friends. And I think you have to... I'm sorry.
She lost what?
This Final Four game in soccer, college soccer.
Now, why were you... Were you a part of the team?
No, we went to watch her play.
Oh, okay.
Down in Kentucky. I don't know why it was in Kentucky, but it was.
So why did you need comforting?
I didn't. She did.
But why did your wife think you needed comforting?
My wife didn't think I needed comforting. I thought my wife would comfort my daughter.
Oh, okay.
But it ended up my daughter didn't go to my wife.
She
came
to
me. And, it's a pretty big moment in my life.
Well, that's a nice story.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah, but I'm trying to compute here.
You're always confused.
No, I'm trying to compute what this has to do with everybody getting a trophy.
I think you always have to... I think you always have to commend your kid and build your kid up, no matter whether they win or lose. And that was kind of what
did you say to what did you say to her?
I don't remember.
I bet
really
you, did you say if you would have been going as hard on the field as you were with your boyfriend 6 years ago, you would have won this game?
That was exactly what I said to her. No, but I used to stand. She was a very fast sprinter, and I used to stand right toward the end of the 100 or the 200 yard race and scream at her from the stands, "Break her heart!" Which meant to, she was supposed to beat the girl next to her, and she usually did break her heart. But I was terrible that way, and that's why I know that college or high school parents are just no good for their kids when they're in sports at times.
You know, competitiveness is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I think it brings out the worst in a lot of people.
You ought to meet my wife. My wife is the most competitive person I have ever met in my life. But she does it with that smile and that passive-aggressive crap that just drives me nuts.
What's an example of that?
Oh, we'll be arguing politics, and she'll say something along the line that, well, I listened to discussion about this, or I read this. Because, see, I don't read much. I watch a lot. I don't read a lot. Dyslexic and kind of slows me down. But she knows that. And so she'll say, well, I read in the New York Times. Well, she knows I didn't read it.
So you take that as competitive.
Oh, and when we would play a sport, any sport, a board game, she had to win. But if she didn't win, she'd make you feel guilty because you beat her.
Well, you know, now is that competitive or is that a sore loser?
I prefer to think of it as competitive because all three of my children got that from her. And they were all great athletes.
Because I know people who are sore losers. But I guess that breeds competitiveness.
I think there is a difference in a sore loser. A sore loser will whine about it and go and say, well, I lost because you cheated or that sort of thing. None of my kids nor my wife will ever say that. They might not talk to you for a day, but they will never say that.
Well, I think that might be a sore loser then.
Okay.
Well, because if
I'll
not,
tell my wife that you think she's a sore loser.
Well, I think that does I think it does happen. You know, I don't know, winning or losing. Really, what is the some people? Here's a problem. What it does is it builds an insecurity, I think, in you that you're going to lose. So you've got to try to puff yourself up.
Do you believe that? Show me a loser, a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. Do you think that's a real term?
Show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody that handles loss well, if you show me a person like that, they're going to lose more often than somebody that doesn't handle it
well. I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Because
I'm asking.
No, I was having this conversation the other day, and people who pay attention to high school football, especially Ohio State, will understand this, that Woody Hayes was a much more... Now there's a sore loser. You know, he would stomp his watch and he would throw things and he would shake the players' helmets.
And
lost his job because of it.
And hit somebody as they're running down the sidelines.
Hit a Clemson player and lost his job because of it. But it was a good coach. You know, he was a good coach.
He was a great coach.
But clearly a sore loser. Now Paul Brown, who preceded him, was the least demonstrative coach. He had his hat on. He had his sports coat out there. He didn't yell and scream. He didn't go up and down the sidelines. He never touched a player out on the field. He didn't do that. And he had a better record. And it was who was going to follow Paul Brown. And Paul Brown ended up being the coach of NFL teams. And he was a good NFL coach. He just motivated in a different way.
Yeah. And I think that I've known lots and lots and lots of coaches. I would say probably more than half of the coaches that I've known were sore losers. But the best coach that I've ever known was he was like Paul Brown. He didn't say anything about it.
Right.
And I'm kind of that way. When I lose, I just clam up. It's like when somebody calls in and says stuff that I think is absolutely ignorant. You know, I don't say anything. I just shut down.
You know,
and that's the way I was brought up. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
I have to bring this up because I saw this. Now, the Republican convention is next week.
Yeah.
Now, we had many, I think we had 2 weeks of conversations on this show about this couple who brought out the guns when the protesting was going on. Where was that? Minnesota?
I don't remember.
It was some other state.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were charges filed.
Oh, no, I do know. It was in Missouri.
Missouri.
Because I looked up the laws about pointing guns at people.
So they're fighting, and everybody said, you know, that this essentially was just because the protesters went on their lawn and the whole thing happened. Well, now they're being invited to the Republican convention.
And it's opened it all up again.
Well, now I'm thinking, now wait a second, why is it a news story, and why were they invited to a particular political party's convention, and why are they willing to go, and why was that a news story? Clearly now, I'm a little slanted on thinking that this was just, you know, stay off my yard.
Well, you know, when you said that, I was not happy with any, I'm never happy with anybody thinking they have the right to point a gun at anybody, period. I don't care. You might have a right to point a gun at somebody if they're pointing a gun at you, but beyond that, I think you've stepped too far. But I've gotten so I agreed with you that it's not news. And it's been brought up as
it's
if
not
it
news
were,
now.
I know it's not news now, but it's being brought up by the opposite side that's making news out of it. So, you know, both sides are guilty.
Right, exactly. And again, if this had never been covered, and it's not news. That is not news in the COVID world. That is not news in a presidential election world. That is not news in social unrest world. The fact that that was news in every state, and the fact that they are invited to the biggest party that a political party throws every 4 years, and that's news, tells me exactly where the news people are at this point.
Well, I would say that the fact that that's happened actually points out that it is news, because people, news is what you
if it
want.
If it wasn't news, this wouldn't have happened. It should have been handled differently.
Okay.
We're going to break. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the golden voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, the talking place.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDC.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back with you on this Wednesday. Now, if you have any opinions, 740-383-9944. I know there was a lot of discussion about the couple. Tell the people what the story was again. The initial story that brought this all out. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
Okay, I looked this up because I wanted to find out what the law in the state of
Missouri.
I keep thinking state of misery because I was in basic training in the state of Missouri. But anyway, I looked up what the law is, and they do have a stand your ground law, but you are not allowed to point a gun with malice towards somebody, which is kind of stupid. How do you determine whether there's malice or no malice? But there was a husband and wife, both lawyers. They lived in this gigantic castle, for a lack of a better term. I mean, it was a beautiful home, if you like that sort of thing. I don't, but it was huge, and they lived in an area of that town where supposedly it was private, and you weren't allowed to go in there, and some protesters who wanted to go to I think it was the mayor's house, which was also in that area, but it wasn't exactly in that area, and they kind of snuck through that area to get to another area, which they shouldn't have done. It was against the law, supposedly, because it was a closed area. And apparently, and I'm saying apparently because I've seen pictures both ways, they walked through a gate, and both gates were opened. Now, I've seen pictures with both gates open and people walking through, so apparently they didn't destroy the gate to get through, but apparently the gate got knocked off of its hinges and bent and that sort of thing. The poor rich people couldn't afford that, and so they got mad. And
I don't think that matters, though.
No, I'm throwing it in for...
That's facetious.
Yes, it was intended to be, because I think it's ignorant. But The protesters stayed on the street, did not come into their lawn, walked in the direction they thought they were supposed to go. I don't know whether they were or not. But this lawyer and his lawyer wife came out on the their front porch and waved AK-47 and a little baby gun that she had, a Derringer or a very small weapon. They waved it at the protesters. I don't know why you would do that, first of all. That's inciting them to do something. And they did. Some of the protesters did yell back at them, and I won't say what they yelled at them, because they were being exactly what they yelled at them. But for some reason or other, it got national attention. And I'm sure it got national attention because both parties were at fault. The people should never have gone through the closed neighborhood, but I'm sure they were doing that as semi-protest. They were trying to point out that the mayor lived in an area that was just a little howdy-towdy or hoity-toity.
Hoity-toity.
And I think that's kind of why they went through there. Still, it's civil disobedience, and they could be punished for it. But then these two lawyers acted like they were frightened of these.
And then there were charges pressed and charges dropped, yeah, and all this. But now they're going to the Republican convention. They've been invited, yeah, to the Republican convention.
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea. You've been to a Republican convention. You ought to know.
What? I don't know, because I don't understand why that was a story to begin with.
I think it's kind of...
Which goes back to the original point. If it hadn't been a story, this wouldn't be what it is.
I think it probably touches on law and order, because they were lawyers and they were standing their ground, which I, first of all, think stand your ground laws are the most ignorant laws ever made by man.
Well, people have to make the laws they want to make, I guess.
Yeah, and they have. And, you know, one of the things about the stand your ground law is... you can basically blow anybody away. There was an African-American gentleman walking through a public forest, and he was attacked, or not attacked, he was met by four or five very angry white people who told him he wasn't allowed to be there. And if he had had a gun on him, stand your ground, he lived in the stand your ground state, he could have turned around and just blown him away. The law is nuts. And stand your ground in a bar? Come on.
Well, if anybody has an opinion on this, feel free.
Yeah, please.
740-383-9944, because a lot of the discussion about this couple came from the phone calls. 740-383-9944, and I don't... Yeah, why? You know, we talk about it here because people have made a national news story of it, and I don't understand why. What is the? It just, when I saw that news story yesterday about them being invited to the Republican convention, I thought, well, okay, first of all, why? And second of all, why is this a story that they're being invited to the Republican convention? If you want to go to a convention, go.
Well, why are we talking about it?
Because news is that which is out of the ordinary. And that is out of the ordinary.
Well, it was out of the ordinary when they waved guns at people that were walking by their house.
But I think that goes on a lot of places. I think it's I don't know that that was that out of the ordinary. I don't know.
Oh, people don't wave guns at people walking by their houses.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, you got to walk down some streets, I guess, and see what's going on. It's just a bizarre world in that particular way. It's a bizarre world right now.
You know, you've said that all my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's particularly bizarre in the middle of a pandemic where we're all wearing masks and standing 6 feet apart from each other? I mean, that's a little more off than the regular time.
Well, if I had a lot of time to think back, there have been a lot of bizarre things that have gone on in my lifetime. And right now, I mean, I was in the riots of the 60s, late 60s, and there was some pretty I watched a young man kick the teeth out of an old lady. I mean, that was kind of bizarre.
But, that's, I think, falls under the anger category.
Oh, yeah, of course it did. Yeah, but it was bizarre.
This is a like I've said, this story, and there'll be no story like this ever in anybody's lifetime that touches everybody. I've never seen anything like that.
I don't know how they're doing the crowd noises at the Republican convention. I'm glad that they're not doing it so much at the Democratic convention. I hate that they do crowd noises on Major League Baseball. Well, I don't hate it, but it does sound fake. But I'm going to be interested to see how they respond to these two folks coming and talking. Are they going to have crowd noises in the background going, yay, or are they going to keep it quiet? They're both lawyers, so they should be intelligent people, you would think. I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch how they handle that.
Well, what it told me was there was something underlying there. Because, you know, why couldn't they have been Democrats? You know, here it
they
comes.
Could have.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, but they weren't, obviously.
No.
Because here comes this this group of people, and they knock down the gates, and these people get angry because they knock the gates off their home, so they go get their guns and wave them around. Now, that's the story.
I'm not sure that happened that order, but go ahead. Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Well.
Now, which part of that do you think was not correct?
When the gate came down. I think I've seen them walk through the gates when both gates are still standing there, and some of the protesters walked through and didn't knock it down. So it obviously happened while they were walking through the
area. But they got angry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because they're on their private property.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not their private property.
But now
I'm thinking it's an association's property.
Right, but was it the fact that these people were walking on the property? What was it? I mean, what drove that now? Why were they out there?
That's a good question. They were frightened, they claim, they were frightened that somebody would come up and hurt their house, I think.
But was that it now? See, I wonder because
nobody even attempted to do that.
Well, see, now when you have people speaking at a particular convention with a particular bend, I wonder, was it the bend? You know, because a lot of people are very anti-protest right now. They don't like these protests that are going on. They don't like these sit-ins that are going on. They think they're wrong. And if you think something's wrong, you're more inclined to want to fight against it than you normally would be.
That's the basis of our United States, but we protested against England, by the way.
Right. I'm not saying that people aren't allowed to protest. I'm just saying if you feel that these protests are wrong, if you can't get from point A to point B because protesters are in the way, you might be inclined to be more angry with them than somebody who supports the cause.
I'm trying to figure out why anybody would not allow somebody to get from point A to point B. That didn't
happen. Sometimes streets are blocked off.
Oh, yeah, but that happens when the president comes to town. He blocks off the streets.
I think some people get angry about that.
Well, I think you're right, especially if they've got a meeting they got to be at.
Yeah, but if they're in support of that, it's always if you're in support of something, you're much more inclined to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's what happened here.
Self-interest, yeah.
That we don't like the idea of these protests. We've been watching them on television.
Oh, don't use the word we. I like the idea of the protests.
I'm not saying me.
You said
I'm
we.
I'm saying this couple.
Okay.
As in we.
Okay.
We don't like these protests, is what they were saying. So when they showed up on their front lawn, they were all the pump was already prime for them.
Now, if you're saying you don't like the protests, you're basically saying you don't like the right of free speech.
I don't know what the couple likes.
Okay. I don't either. But that's what
I'm not saying. Me,
I think that's why people got angry about it, because they were saying we have the right to point a gun at you, but you don't have the right to protest, George Floyd's murder. Yeah, that's the type of thing. This was Lives Matter protest.
Yeah, I'm just saying people can do what they want, but if this couple did not support those protests, when the protests show up on their front lawn...
Oh, they're not going to be happy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So yeah. Is that what this was more than anything else?
And I think that's very petty. But yes.
Well, if it is, then we know that.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people that would say, I'm absolutely wrong. And I understand that.
Well, if anybody has an opinion, give us a
buzz. Yeah, they got quiet on us.
They got quiet today. I know, we were good the first hour. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. What do you think the tenor of tonight's going to be? Isn't tonight President Obama, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris?
I will definitely be listening to everything tonight because I love to listen to President Obama speak.
Well, I think the one people will be listening to tonight's Hillary Clinton. You've got the... Oh, yeah.
That would be the last of the bunch you just mentioned that I'd listen to.
No, I think that'll be the one because it'll be the one who didn't win last time, the one who...
We know she didn't win.
Well, I think she does, too. But I think this is her chance to give...
She did win, by the way, 4 million votes.
This is her chance to say why she thinks things have been rough and... why Biden's the right person and why Kamala Harris is a big deal. And
have you ever listened to President Obama's speeches?
I do, but this is his vice president. I wouldn't expect him to be anything but glowing.
He is one of the best orators I've heard in my life.
But we know you are over the moon with him.
I am.
Right.
But the reason why is because he speaks so intelligently and so well and with such authority. I I know we had a lot of people last week that will call in and say that I'm an idiot. And I understand that people don't believe that, but that's why I'll be watching him.
I don't know. I mean, he's okay. I mean, I get why a lot of people have very strong feelings about him. He was a first in this country.
Yeah.
But and that's good. But I don't, you know, I think we're starting to discount everybody but the last two presidents, and I don't understand that. I don't hear people talking about the other presidents, and I think that's very weird and short-sighted.
Are you talking about the Bushes?
Trump and Obama. It seems like everything that happened before them just didn't exist because these two presidents have had this spite.
Yeah.
And I beyond me, there seems to be more history than just these two.
I don't really think that there's...
We got a break. We'll come back in 60 seconds and talk about it. Stay tuned.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, Glenn Coble, Scott Spears, on the air, Wednesday, August the 19th, 2020. What'd you make of John Kasich Monday at the Democratic Convention?
I think he gave a terrific speech. My wife disagrees with me, but my wife's never liked him.
I think he lost all of his support. I think he's a man now with no boat. He's out there in the middle of the ocean.
You know, I think that's probably what's going to happen to the Republican Party, and I know I'm speaking from a very left bent on this, but I think the Republican Party's going to find their new way, and they're going to find it with intelligent people. I hate to admit it, our current governor is a pretty intelligent guy. I think Kasich was an intelligent guy. I'm totally disappointed with Portman, but I think he's an intelligent guy, but he just isn't showing very much intestinal
fortitude. I'm trying to figure out Kasich's angle. You know, you can be critical. There are a lot of Republicans.
Maybe he's honest.
No, I'm saying you can be critical of the president and be in his party. There are a lot of people who are. To go and speak at the other party's presidential convention and to give that type of speech endorsing the other guy, that's... I mean, listen...
John McCain was not for Trump. Jeb Bush was not...
voted him down one time, big
but,
time.
But McCain, in 2016, I doubt he voted for Trump. I don't think he would have.
McCain didn't? Yeah. Well, I don't know that we know the
answer. Well, he certainly was not in support of Trump. Kasich in 2016 was not in support of Trump. We know that. He said he wrote in John McCain on his ballot. We know that... I'm sure Jeb Bush was not in support. We know that both of the former President Bushes who were alive were not in support. We know that there were a lot of people who were not in support who were Republicans, but they didn't go and speak at the Democratic convention, and they didn't endorse the Democrats.
But they hadn't lived through 3.5 years of
this. But where are the others? I mean, you've got all these
They're
people.
Cowards.
But where are they now?
Hiding. What other people are you talking about?
Well, Kasich's not in office. I'm saying, where are the flakes, and where are the people who are no longer in office who don't have to worry about that?
There are a lot of them that are coming out
Romney
saying...
Romney has not endorsed Joe Biden.
No, and I don't think he will, because he's still active in the Republican Party.
He's not a Trump guy.
No.
And he wasn't a Trump guy in 2016.
But these people that are active politicians don't want to burn their base.
But I'm saying, like, the flakes and people of that nature.
There are ones that have talked that
but not,
are...
Just, who, speaking in prime time at the Republican
convention. Kasich is one in point. He's like... I forgot his name. The guy you just mentioned.
McCain? I don't think McCain...
No. The guy that...
Flake,
yeah.
I don't think Flake would have done that. Because even if you don't like the head of your party, you support the senators, you support the congressmen, so you don't go speak at the opposite party's convention. And why John Kasich did this, or offered this, or was made the overture, there's something behind that.
But he wasn't alone. There were a lot of Republicans that spoke.
At the convention?
Yes.
Who spoke?
There were, about 4 or 5. That spoke after or right before Kasich. I can't remember that word.
So why was his such a big deal?
Because he was the governor of the state of Ohio, which is a swing state and very Republican right now.
But why was so much made of that? I mean, it was newspaper articles. It was all kinds of stuff.
He had run for president.
Right, but I'm saying why the others, I don't think were fans. I don't think Rubio or Ted Cruz.
I'm trying to remember who the other people were, and they weren't nearly as famous as Kasich, the other speakers, Republican speakers that came out.
But I think he's angling for a job.
Well, he might be.
I think that's all that was.
I think a lot of politics is that. What is it called? The Lincoln Project. That's a lot of Republicans that are coming out saying.
All I know is most of the Republicans I hear who say that they don't like Trump will very quickly say they're going to vote third party or they're going to write somebody in. They don't go and endorse the Democrats.
The Lincoln Project is pretty huge, and it has a lot of Republicans that are not going to vote for Trump and are saying it.
Not voting for Trump, we had that. We had the non-Trumpers. But I'm saying we have not... I don't know that they all went and endorsed the Democrat.
Oh, no. No, I'm not sure that they
That's
will.
What Kasich did.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he endorsed him because he's a good human being.
I think he was looking for a job.
Okay. We'll see. And he may get a job just by the fact that he is an honest Republican, a person that disagrees with my feelings about certain things, but he's an honest person. That's what we need right now in our government. When I was running for office, I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, "There, no politician's honest." Well, that's not true. I was honest, and maybe why I didn't get the votes I needed to get.
You know, there was such a dislike for John Kasich. I remember when he was governor of Ohio, and he wanted to get rid of the teachers' unions.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that was... I remember the night that went down and he got on television and said, "Well, you deal with it now. You deal with that problem."
Well, now that's a policy difference between old-fashioned Republicans and old-fashioned Democrats. An old-fashioned Democrat will say, "We need to save the unions." An old-fashioned Republican wants to get rid of unions. So, I mean, that most of us Democrats can get along with that and say, okay, that's their policy and they've said it all along. I will at least honor that. Whereas the current group, you don't know where they stand because there's lies all the time.
I think if Joe Biden gets in, I think you're going to see a lot of faces from the past in his cabinet.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
One of which will be, she was the runner-up to Kamala Harris. Susan Rice.
Maybe, yeah.
I think she will be very high up there. There will be a lot.
I think there would be an immediate Supreme Court appointment.
There always are. No, there aren't any Supreme Court.
No, I think if Biden gets it, Ginsburg will step down.
Yeah, I do too.
I think there'll be an immediate appointment.
Just for her health's sake, I hope she does. But if not, I think she's been a terrific Supreme Court.
And I still believe, and I'm saying this in the wind, this is just a prediction, I think what will happen if Biden does win, Ginsburg will step down after January 20th. He'll have to make an appointment, and I think he would appoint Obama.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
I do. I still believe that.
I would love that.
Because I think Obama's young.
I don't think he'll take it.
I think he would. Because he stayed in Washington. This book will come out, which is what he's been working on for 4 years. He's not going to run for anything else.
No.
I don't think he wants to host a television show or build a library at this point.
Oh, they'll build a library. I mean,
what's he gonna do? What is he going to do with the rest of his life?
On the south side of Chicago.
The last time we had a president that young after office, it was Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And Bill Clinton's wife went and ran New York. And that's where Bill Clinton went. And then he worked on his... basically, he didn't really do a library. He did a foundation mm-hmm. and tried to help other people. I don't think that's Barack Obama. I don't see him doing that. So for the rest of his life, I think he's not going to be content to write books and give speeches.
Okay.
And I think the only thing that would be lifetime, and he's young enough to where it wouldn't be like a Ginsburg appointment, he would probably have 30 years on the bench.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. You never know, though. COVID can strike anywhere.
But I think that will happen. And I also think in people, just because of the way things are, I think you will see Hillary Clinton in a position again. Because...
I don't think she wants to.
Oh, I think she would. I don't think she wants to run for anything. But I think she cares about the country. I think she thinks the country's in bad shape.
Maybe be an ambassador or something like that.
Oh, I know. I think I think if she hadn't been Secretary of State, I think that would be it. Because I think here's going to be the problem. Biden's going to have to put every bit of attention he has on America and the COVID and the economy.
And fixing things
right.
that have gone
He's
wrong.
Not going to be able to go over and deal with the foreign countries.
Yeah.
And that a lot of that needs... dealt with.
Yep.
And you're going to want somebody who's had relationships with those people.
I told my wife that would be Susan Rice, but my wife pointed out to me it probably wouldn't.
No, I think it could be Hillary Clinton again because of these extraordinary situations. I don't think she would do it for two terms, but I think she would do it for
get
one
it
again. Straighten it out. Or I think she might be the Attorney General because I think there's a great irony to that.
There certainly would be,
yes.
Ollie.
Yes. I think there would be a great irony to that. And I think...
I'm going to have to post that.
I mean, those are my predictions.
Oh, me.
Because Hillary wanted to be at this time in her life in government. If she had been elected, this would just be the start of her second term.
How old is Hillary?
She's younger than Biden.
Is she younger than
She's younger than
husband?
Trump. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I think...
She's in her early 70s.
Okay. I think Bill is my age, which would make him 70.
Yeah, she's younger.
Okay.
But she's not going to sit at home the rest of her life. And not, she likes being involved in government.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
When is the last time... this is about the only four-year period she hasn't in her life.
Charlie will roll over. He'll be very
angry.
Well,
he just wants her to get her hair done.
Yeah, he needs a haircut.
Wants her to get, but her hair has looked pretty good lately.
Yeah, it's not looked bad. But she's gained a little weight, but haven't we all?
But no, think about it. She was First Lady of Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then she was First Lady of the United States.
Yeah.
And then she was elected Senator right out of that.
Yeah.
Plucked from Senator to be Secretary of State.
Right.
Took 4 years off to run for president. This is the first four-year period in her life where she's had nothing to do.
And I know a lot of my Republican friends will scream when I say this. I think she'd be a pretty good Secretary of State again.
Well, I think she's always popular when she's in those jobs.
Yeah. She gets along with the... foreign authorities pretty well.
And I also think she might be made Secretary of State again because of the Putin factor. She seemed to deal with him pretty well.
Yeah, she's pretty strong on that.
You know, where Obama was weak with Putin You know, he was the one, you know, on, off the microphone. Wait till the election is over and we'll talk. She's the one who went over there and...
I've never heard that. I've heard people say
true.
That.
No, that's true.
I've heard people say that's
true.
Yeah,
listen to
but
that.
I've never heard
that. I don't know why he didn't know the microphone was on.
Yeah, I do know that he got caught a couple times.
But Hillary's the one who went over and said,
maybe
listen...
Maybe it was planned.
Well, Hillary went over and said, listen, you rigged this election. We know you did. And he did not like that.
And yet...
Clearly.
He basically admitted it when Trump was there. At the
he didn't
Helsinki.
Like women.
No, he didn't like women. Well,
she told a story one time of how he tried to intimidate her. I don't remember what the...
No male in power right now seems to like any women.
Well, somebody told me last night a lot of people don't like Kamala Harris. And I was surprised because I know this person voted for Hillary. I know this person told me last night they were going to vote for Biden. But they said a lot of people don't like her. That's what this person said. And I was shocked by that because I don't think a whole lot about it.
Well, you know, she is one of those hated dark-skinned persons.
I don't think that's it.
Oh, I think it has
I don't
something
think,
to do
oh,
with it.
Oh, Glenn.
Oh, if you don't, you're ignorant.
No, with this person, I don't think it did.
Okay. Well, I don't know who this person is. But anyway, I said, and I have the date that
she, listen, she does come off a little...
We just talked over.
She does come off a little rough. I mean, she does. I mean, look at how she took poor old Joe to task.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Okay. But she does come off a little...
She took our attorney general to task. Rightfully so.
And that's fine. But she came off... It didn't really do with her skin color. She comes off a little...
You're sounding kind of...
No, that's how you...
Male...
No. There are men.
If a man did, that, you wouldn't say that.
I would too, because Al Franken came off a little shrill during those hearings when he would question Sessions. I thought he came off more shrill than other people did.
I don't know what you're telling me there.
That men can sound shrill too. They can.
Yeah,
be rough.
Men can sound shrill, but you're.
You remember the Kavanaugh hearing?
You're criticizing.
The Kavanaugh hearing?
I do.
My goodness.
He shouldn't be a Supreme
Court
judge.
Yeah, but why did she stand out in those hearings? Because
she was a woman.
There were other women who questioned him.
Not nearly as well.
See, but there you. What's well to you? See, that's the
somebody
point.
Somebody that nails it on the head.
Okay, in your opinion.
Yeah.
And other people felt different.
Yeah.
Right. So why did she stick out? That's the point.
Because she had guts and had the...
You're using adjectives that really mean she was hard on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I said. That doesn't have anything to do with her being a woman. She just is hard on people.
Well, why should that make you bad?
I didn't say it made her bad.
Oh, I thought you were implying that is why people don't like her.
Oh, it could be.
And it is why people don't like her. People are kind of afraid of her,
I think. But that doesn't have anything to do with her being a woman.
But it also doesn't have anything to do with whether she's a good vice president or not.
No, but you said that I said that because she was a woman. No, I'm saying that because I've seen her question people.
No,
and she does.
I said it that way, but go ahead.
But
we'll have to listen back to the show.
We'll have to listen back to it. No, I'm just saying I think it has to do with how she has questioned people and her time in the public light has come off, and she is a prosecutor. It comes off like a prosecutor.
She's very smart.
A lot of people feel Nancy Pelosi is very shrill. And I think
people
and
that
I think,
don't like her.
How many speakers of the House have torn up the papers on television after the State of the Union?
I thought that was fantastic.
Because you like her.
Yes.
And people
I used to dislike her.
I don't
but
think
I did like
I
that.
Don't think even if you disagreed, I don't think that was wise to do it on television.
I probably wasn't wise.
Right.
I didn't think she thought about
that. But doesn't
that.
Have her being a woman if Newt Gingrich had done that, if Tip O'Neill had done that.
Oh, that side of the aisle would have loved it.
Tip O'Neill is a Democrat.
No, I mean the side of the aisle that you're talking about.
I'm talking about position. Any speaker of the House that would have done that would have gotten the same criticism she got.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But she takes it.
But it didn't have to do with her being a woman. And I don't think it has anything to do with...
I think the intensity of it does have to do with being a woman.
I just think, you know, if you choose somebody who is a bulldog personality, somebody who's... And there's nothing wrong with being tough. Joe Biden is just not a bulldog.
No.
Now, Bernie Sanders is shrill. I'll tell you that. He comes off very shrill.
Yeah, and that irritates me with
him. But he's a man. So I don't know what this has to do with her being a woman.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Well, because when I said I think people don't like her, because you said, I said, I don't think people like her. And you said, it's because of her color. And I said, no, I think it's because of her shrillness. And you said that had more to do with her gender. I don't think it does have to do with her gender.
No, I think people think of it that way. I don't think it does have anything to do with her gender either. But I think that's an excuse people use to dislike her.
We're out of time. What's coming up next?
Huh? What?
You have a show.
Are we out of time?
You have a show.
Oh,
my goodness. What's coming up next?
I'm going to read the final speech by Charlie Chaplin.
At the Oscars.
From the movie.
The Dictator.
The Dictator.
Ah. Norman Lloyd was in that movie. I had him on last week.
Oh, two weeks ago. Sorry, I missed that.
105 years old.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Glenn will be back after this. Nate Redman tonight, 4:10 to 5 p.m., Offbeat News and Trivia.
Not only that, there was a very short time, a commercial, where I greeted him because he was the marshal some years ago of the Israeli Day Parade in New York City, where I, of course, participate every year. And there was a commercial that I greeted him. That's true. Not only that, he knows me.
Yes, absolutely.
But I don't get involved in politics.
No, not in politics. But as a human being, what kind of person is he in person?
Next question.
Okie doke. We will go right along. We won't even stop. The tires are squealing away from that one. Is Dr. Ruth in a happy relationship?
Good question. What is your next question, Scott? About my personal life.
We're going to dig right in, Doctor.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Download the free on any mobile device. Search WWGH.